You are now listening to Countdown to Kickoff, presented by DolphinsTalk.com. To get you ready for today's game, here's your host, Tom Earnessy.
Welcome to Countdown to Kickoff. I am your host, Tom Earnessy. With me, which he is every single week, is Dante Colonnelli. We've made it. We've made it to week one of the NFL season. Dante, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I can't wait for this slate of games we got coming up today. Thursday was like a nice little taste. Like I missed like real football. Look, I love college football, but something hits different about the NFL, man. So I'm excited. It's going to be awesome.
Always, man. You know, Saturday just gets you primed up, and then Sunday is really where it happens. And that's what we're going to talk about here, obviously, right now, is the Dolphins traveling to Foxborough to play the New England Patriots in front of a packed house. So this is a little bit different than last year's first game, which we tend to want to forget. You know, last year's first game was not very good overall for the Dolphins, as they were just absolutely manhandled up front by the Patriots offensive line, as well as Cam Newton, who is not here anymore. Obviously, the reins have been turned over to Mac Jones. So we're going to get into all that, getting you prepared for the game against the New England Patriots. But we got to talk about the injury report first, Dante. As you know, on Friday, it has been reported, just looking at everything as a whole for the New England Patriots, a lot of different things, a lot of moving parts on their injury report. Obviously, Bill Belichick likes to play a lot of chess matches with his injury report, but this is how it shakes out. Is Malcolm Perry, he's out. Which is fine because the likelihood of him sticking to the Patriots 53-man roster is probably slim to none after this game is over, and they probably want to get him back on the practice squad. But he is out with a foot injury. Nelson Aguilar did not participate in Thursday's practice but was back at practice on Friday on a limited basis. He's questionable to play. Yanni Kajusti, hamstring, he's limited all week. He's questionable. Jalen Mills did not participate as well on Thursday, but he was limited on Friday. He is questionable for the game. And linebacker Ronnie Perkins, he is limited and also questionable. For the Miami Dolphins, only one guy listed as questionable for the game, and that is Preston Williams with his foot, as he is still working his way back from that injury that he sustained against Arizona last season. Liam Eichenberg, full participant, and I know you are going to be very happy to see potential with Liam Eichenberg up front on that offensive line. But we won't know until we get to kickoff how Brian Flores is going to work this in, as Austin Jackson likelihood is he is not playing in that game. Clayton Fedulum, he is full participant. Devontae Parker, shoulder, he's full. Landon Roberts, knee injury, he's a full participant. Albert Wilson, full participant with a quad. And then Savon Ahmed with a back injury. No designation on Friday. He is fully go. So really, it's only the question of Preston Williams and how much he will play, but I believe he will definitely suit up against the Patriots. So, Dante, I got to start with the question. Is it a potential big loss for the Patriots not having Nelson Aguilar or Jalen Mills potentially playing?
Yeah, I think Aguilar is probably the big loss, right? I mean, he was the big-time free agent that they brought in at wide receiver. Obviously, they signed a couple of tight ends, but if you look at this receiver depth chart, I mean, it's incredibly thin. The only other receiver that I think even, you know, scares you even a little bit is Jacoby Myers. And Aguilar's speed is threatening. You know, I know that our secondary is very good, but he is very fast, and sometimes, you know, that can be a problem. So him being out is a big deal. I would argue I kind of hope Jalen Mills plays because he's bad. So I wouldn't mind seeing him on the football field trying to cover Mike Gesicki, if I'm being completely transparent with you. So Aguilar is a big loss, though. I mean, he's the deep threat. He's the guy who can stretch the defense. He's the guy who can, you know, challenge Xavier Howard in a foot race. You know, he's pretty much the only guy on the team that can do that. Everything else the Patriots are going to do is going to be, you know, a lot of simple stuff with guys like Jacoby Myers working the intermediate areas to the field. And, you know, they're going to try and pick the Dolphins defense apart. And that's hard when you have a rookie quarterback. So Aguilar being out's a big deal. I hope Jalen Mills plays, though, because he's not very good. So I think that now I'm going to say that and he's going to make like some insane interception or something. And I'm going to look like an idiot. But, you know, Aguilar is big. That's a good advantage for Miami.
Yeah. And I mentioned Liam Eichenberg is a full participant with a thigh injury. What do we expect here with the offensive line going into week one? We saw, you know, some glimpses of, you know, the obvious bad with Austin Jackson in the preseason, if we're being blunt about it. But, you know, obviously, again, you know, second year kid, you know, benefit of the doubt that he needs to develop and do well. But Liam Eichenberg, they traded up for him, obviously played left tackle at Notre Dame last year. I believe he only gave up like what was it, one hurry or sack in his senior season with Ian Book there. Do they start Liam Eichenberg at left tackle or say even right tackle and kick Jesse Davis over to the left tackle spot?
Should they? Absolutely. Do they? I don't know, man. I don't think so. It doesn't seem like that is the direction that they want to go. My assumption is that we're going to see Greg Little and Jesse Davis bookends, which is going to make me very, very sad. I don't know why you wouldn't play Liam Eichenberg at left tackle, right? I think it was Benjamin Solak of The Ringer who tweeted like, hey, you know, why don't the Dolphins try the very good college left tackle at left tackle just to see how it feels?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like it's just like very weird, you know, for them to draft a player who was, you know, pretty good at left tackle at Notre Dame. And it's not to say that, you know, he's going to go out there and be Andrew Whitworth for the next 15 years or whatever. It's more to say that, like, this is a player that you traded up for. This is a player that you clearly like, and you just never gave him an opportunity to play his best position. And I understand not wanting to kick Austin Jackson out, but, you know, you put him over at right tackle. You didn't give him a ton of time to kind of make that transition. And then you swing him, you know, inside the left guard. He was getting some center reps. It's just very weird. And I think that they would be foolish not to put him out there at left tackle and see how he does. I don't think he can be much worse than what we saw from Austin Jackson in the preseason or most of last season. So I think that that's what they should do. I don't think they're going to do that, though, because it just doesn't seem like they have any interest in doing that. I mean, maybe they kick Robert Hunt out to right tackle for a game and we see Jesse Davis go in at guard and then Greg Little left tackle. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. But if Austin Jackson can't play, you should be trying Liam Eichenberg there. I really don't see any argument for not doing that. But again, I don't expect them to do that because it just doesn't seem like that's what they're interested in.
It's not a Dolphins thing because it's not what they projected. You know, seeing Eichenberg, they want him at right tackle or left guard. That's where they've been playing him most of the preseason and in practices. You can't keep moving guys around from their natural spots and expect them just to pick it up like that. Not everybody can be a Laramie Tunsil and be a, you know, top 15 guard in his rookie season with never playing guard at any point in his life. You know, you have to play Eichenberg where he belongs, and that's at a tackle spot. I don't care if it's right tackle. I don't care if it's left tackle, but he needs to be a tackle on this football team, and you trade it up for him. Let's get him out there. Let's play him. Let's see what he can do, because who knows? Maybe it's lightning in a bottle. Maybe they actually have something there that they're not ready to use just yet, but we know Brian Flores, we know he is not afraid to play a young, inexperienced player when the games count. We saw it in 2019. We saw it last year. We need to see if he will do it, especially with a guy that can anchor the offensive line, which desperately needs an anchor for it. You know what I mean? So let's dive into it. We did this last year. We've done this for the last couple of years. We dive into the advantage. Who has the advantage in each position group for this game against the Patriots? And we're going to kick it right off. Quarterback.
Yeah.
Mac Jones versus Tua. That is what the headlines are. It's the starting quarterback versus the backup quarterback at Alabama. Mac Jones has a tremendous year last year with Alabama. We know Tua's history, obviously, covering the Dolphins. We know about his history at Alabama. We know about his last season. But who are you giving the advantage to in week one against Mac Jones and Tua?
Yeah, I mean, as a noted Mac Jones hater, even before the Patriots drafted him, I'm going to have to go with Tua on this one. And I think it's honestly just You know, even like taking away from the fact that I watch both of those players pretty much every throw that they've ever made in their lives at this point. I just think experience here matters. Like, I don't really know what to project Mac Jones as an NFL player outside of what I saw in college. So I think Tua is the better quarterback. I think he was the better quarterback at Alabama. I think he was the better prospect. I think he's the better quarterback right now. Now, I think that the Patriots have fully committed to Mac Jones a little bit sooner than the Dolphins fully committed to Tua, obviously. And I don't know what kind of effect that can have. I mean, the Patriots are very much built to succeed with a player of Mac Jones's skill set, which is not something that we saw the Miami Dolphins do last year or even last offseason. Now, on the flip side of that, I think the Dolphins have done a much better job this offseason getting closer to that successful offensive model with a quarterback like Tua. So I think experience gives him the edge. And frankly, I just think he's the better quarterback. And I'm going to stick to that until Mac Jones proves me wrong. If he does, I'm going to be very, very annoyed. I will say one thing, though. I am incredibly impressed with the restraint that I have seen from Dolphins Twitter and like the NFL media at large. I have seen very, very few Mac verse like Tua bad takes this week. Most of the bad takes have just been about the Dolphins in general, which is how it always is. So like, that's fine. That's just the noise. So props to you guys. I appreciate that. You saved me my sanity this week. But yeah, I think Tua is the better quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think where we are in the stages of both careers, obviously Tua finally gets his chance to prove himself without having someone lurking over his shoulder like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is a proven veteran. And we understand the whole situation from last year and why things went the way they went. Mac Jones is unproven, right? You know, yes, he had a good year last year, a great year at Alabama last year. The numbers are there to show that. But this is a whole different ball game, and it's his first NFL game against two of the best corners in the game in Byron Jones and Xavier Howard. And Brian Flores, we know what he likes to do with rookie quarterbacks. In 2019, he went against Mason Rudolph. Obviously, Mason Rudolph being a rookie quarterback that year and the Dolphins being atrocious in 2019, I really don't put too much solace into that, but it's what they did to a rookie quarterback last year in his first start against Brian Flores' defense, because it is very similar to what New England has run. So we look at Justin Herbert last year, and I'm not going to go all about it because I don't want people in my mentions saying, well, Herbert had a better year. I'm saying against a New England style defense of Bill Belichick and Brian Flores, Justin Herbert was inept. He was terrible. And they were able to exploit that by doing multiple looks almost on every snap. The amoeba look, where guys are up, moving around constantly across the line of scrimmage, not knowing where that pressure is going to come from. That causes confusion, especially for a rookie quarterback. And I think that's going to give the advantage to Tua, because he's already been there. He's played against Bill Belichick. He's played against that defense. And he was pretty successful last year in that victory in Miami. So now let's get into the second part of this. Who's got the advantage at running back? Dante, it's, you know, Damien Harris obviously now is the guy there with Sony Michel shipped off to Los Angeles. They have Ravondre Stevenson, and they still have James White with the Dolphins. We know the trio is going to be Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, and Savon Ahmed. Who's got the advantage here at running back?
Yeah, I think this one has to go to the Patriots. I think that Damien Harris is a pretty underrated back. I think he's very, very solid. Another Alabama guy, by the way. We got about a bajillion of them in this football game. Ramondre Stevenson's pretty good, too. He looked like he had a nice preseason. He was a solid prospect coming out. Obviously, they move on from Sony Michel. That just kind of tells you how good they feel about the running backs in that room. I don't think that this is necessarily a blowout, though. I think that Miles Gaskin, Salvin Ahmed, and Malcolm Brown are certainly comparable players. So this is, you know, I would say like a slight edge to New England. I think the other part of this that makes me think New England's backs are a little bit better is that I know that New England's line is significantly better. Yep. And I would imagine they're going to have an easier time running than some of the Dolphins' backs. So that uphill battle, plus I think Damien Harris is somehow the most proven commodity as far as a pure runner is concerned in this group, which is I mean, nuts, but that's where we're at for both teams. I do think the Dolphins are fine, though. I don't think that this is like some kind of like, you know, crazy problem where they're just going to get steamrolled the entire game. I think Gaskin and Ahmed, as long as the line does their part, which, you know, we can talk about that in a little bit. I think that they're comparable backs to Damien Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. I just think those guys are slightly better right now.
Yeah, I'm actually going to say it's a push. I don't think either of them really have an advantage because, like you said, Myles Gaskin is a little bit of unknown commodity, but when he played 10 games last year, he averaged over 90 yards a game of total offense. And the one thing that the Patriots really do struggle with is pass catching running backs. They really struggle against them. And Myles Gaskin, over the course of, I think, the last few games last year, he had a 30-yard catch, I believe, in three games down the stretch. And that's going to be a problem spot for the Patriots because we know Tua likes to get the ball out quick. And, you know, depending on how that offense is looking with the RPO, they're going to try to get Gaskin the ball in the open field. And what better way to do that against a linebacker? You know, Kyle Van Noy is going to come out to the flat. Is he going to be able to keep up with a guy like Myles Gaskin? The answer is no. But, you know, Damien Harris, like you said, very underrated back. I think he, you know, this season, he seems like he could be a 1,000-yard rusher. He is going to be good. And Stevenson is just a bulldozer. He's a guy that's just going to run people over in between the tackles, which is what the Dolphins hope with Malcolm Brown. But I don't want Malcolm Brown looking like Jordan Howard did like last season. So this might be the easiest advantage that we may be talking about here. So we won't spend too much time on it, Dante. Who's got the advantage here?
Oh, Tom, it feels so good to say this, man.
It's us.
Finally. The Dolphins have the advantage at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Wow. When was the last time you felt like you said that with your chest? You felt good confidence. About it. Right?
The fluttering of the heart that makes it feel so good. It's so good to feel this way.
Right? Like, they turn this around quick. I know Will Fuller's not playing in this game, but you add Jaylen Waddle. You get a healthy Albert Wilson, assuming DVP is back. For some reason, people are very down on Devontae Parker right now. Like, when he's healthy, he's very good. Like, I just want to say that. I've seen a lot of Devontae Parker slander on the timeline, which I get it. He's out a lot. But when he's healthy, he's very good. This is a very diverse, strong group of receivers. I don't even care if Preston Williams plays, quite frankly. In fact, I'm not sure I want him taking snaps from some of these other guys. It's a good group. Patriots don't have much going for them outside of Jacoby Myers, who is incredibly underrated. He's a good wide receiver. Don't get me wrong.
He's going to be a good wide receiver this year. I think with more competent quarterback play, if Mac Jones develops and he does play better, Jacoby Myers is going to be a very good wide receiver. We saw that last year with Cam Newton, but you know, just seeing Cam Newton, he can't throw the football much anymore based on his tape. But Mac Jones can. How good can he throw the football? Well, we're going to find out. Yeah. I think that was the easiest one. I will say having Albert Wilson back in the fold as well is huge. Having Waddle and him going and crossing routes underneath, that's dangerous for an opposing defense, particularly because you know that there's going to be at least one linebacker trying to cover this guy or either of those guys. And that's going to be a matchup issue for the Patriots, which I think the Dolphins are going to look to exploit. Like I said, Tua likes to get the ball out quick. He likes to have his guys do the work once the ball's in their hand, and they have guys now with even without Will Fuller, there are guys there that can do some serious damage run after the catch. Jaylen Waddle and Albert Wilson being two of the cogs of doing that. This one was a little more interesting for me going into the tight end room, Dante. Mike Gesicki, obviously we know how good he is based off last season. Durham Smythe, Hunter Long, I'm excited to see Hunter Long, how much action he's going to get in this game. But when you look at the other side of the table, I'm going to give the advantage to the Patriots. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith were the top two tight ends on the market, and the Patriots got both of them. So that is going to be some matchup problems for the Dolphins linebackers because we go back to the past, go back about 11, 12 years ago to an unnamed tight end and Rob Gronkowski in New England, and they just did a fantastic job, and the offense those years were just – it seemed like it was unstoppable. It's so hard to cover athletic tight ends. We know the injury history with Hunter Henry and, Jonnu Smith, Smith took a bad injury. I believe it was towards the end of last year he had an injury that took him out, or it was 2019. I can't remember which year it was. But both those guys are going to be good, and those are security blankets for Mac Jones. I'm going to give the edge to New England at the tight end department.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'll be short. I mean, it's just a simple numbers game, right? Like, they have two very good tight ends, and we have one, right? So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. I think that as far as impact in this game goes, I think Gesicki can match those guys. I don't know what the Patriots' target distribution is going to look like. It'll be interesting to see how much they really want to pound the rock, which, frankly, against Miami's defense, that's probably what I would do. So we'll see how their production shakes out. But, yeah, on paper, I think the Patriots take this one.
Yeah. We won't spend much time on this one either. It's New England all day. I mean, let's be real. You know, the Dolphins' offensive line has flaws. Do they have potential? They have potential to be okay, if I'm being honest. They have a potential to be okay. But the most important thing in this game is keeping Tua upright, and can the offensive line do that? You know, again, we saw moments where they were able to do so. Tua had the pocket collapsing around him. Thank God he's got really good presence in the pocket to be able to escape a lot of those situations with his footwork and everything else. But they have to give him more than 2 seconds to throw the football. And we know Bill Belichick, he is going to attack the middle of this line with A-gap blitzes until the Dolphins can figure out how to stop it. Let's be real. But the Patriots definitely have the advantage here. Getting Trent Brown back into the equation is huge. David Andrews is back at center. I can't believe Ted Karras went to New England to be a backup center when he could have been a starter still here in the Miami Dolphins, but whatever, it's over. But the Patriots definitely have a big advantage here up front at the offensive line.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add to that. I think my tirades on the Dolphins' offensive line are well documented at this point, and the Patriots have one of the better lines in the NFL when they're healthy. So we can put a bookmark in this one.
Yep. Let's go to the defensive line with the advantage here. This is a good group on both sides of the ball. We're going to see a familiar face on the other side with Devon Godchow with New England Patriots. With the Miami Dolphins, we have one of their former players in Adam Butler, and obviously a bunch of extra pieces here. I love what the Dolphins did in the offseason. I believe another year of Raekwon Davis, a more highly motivated Raekwon Davis, with the way he played last year in limited time, now that he's going to be a starter for the most part, I think he is going to be an absolute menace up front for the Patriots. But you have to go with experience in this situation. I'm going to lean to the Patriots with the advantage here on the defensive line. What do you think?
Ooh, I'm actually going to go with Miami. I kind of like our group a little bit better. I just think they got a little bit more juice than that Patriots line. I mean, you're looking at Dietrich Wise Jr., Lawrence Guy, Devon Godchow, Henry Anderson. Like, I don't know. I mean, they're fine, but I don't know, man. I like Raekwon Davis a lot. I think Emmanuel Ogbah is the best down lineman in this game. And I think Christian Wilkins as a pass rusher is certainly somebody who's better than a lot of the other guys. And then you add Adam Butler, and then, you know, don't want to forget about Zach Sealer either, who's pretty dang good when he's on the football field. So I'm going to go with Miami here. This is a close one. This is definitely going to be a good battle. Like you said, I think it'll be the difference in the game if one of these groups can get after it a little bit more than the other. Which, you know, is not groundbreaking analysis. Quarterback sacks win games. But I think the Dolphins take this one.
All right, let's get to the linebacking unit. You know, the Dolphins, Andrew Van Ginkel, huge role this year after they let go of Kyle Van Noy, and he goes back to New England. Andrew Van Ginkel, which is Mike Oliva's boy, he's got a huge role this year, and he's got to bring the lumber every single week. Jerome Baker signed a nice extension. He's 24 years old. I think, you know, sideline to sideline, he is the Dolphins' best tackler, best guy that can do the sideline to sideline, chasing down those running backs, tight ends. Landon Roberts, which stunning. I know your face, you're not happy about it either. But Benardrick McKinney being released was an absolute stunner with Landon Roberts. But, you know, Roberts is a thumper. You know, that's probably the best thing about his game is he loves contact and he loves hitting guys at the line of scrimmage. Which is what they want. And on, you know, at the other end of it, what are they going to run out? Is Jalen Phillips going to be the guy? Are they going to start with him right away? I don't know. We'll find out. But I like this unit. I think they're a lot more athletic. They are faster. The Patriots linebackers are a little bit older. You know, Kyle Van Noy, we saw last year, lost a step for the most part. Am I throwing a little shade his way? Maybe just a little. You know, I think overall, I think I'm going to lean towards the Dolphins at the linebacking unit just because the athleticism and the fact that they can get after the quarterback with pass rushing capability. I like the Dolphins here.
Okay, we're different on two in a row. I'm going to take the Patriots. I think you have to factor in the return of Dante Hightower, who is very good, at least in my opinion. I think he's one of the better stack linebackers that we have in the game, you know, separating himself, not quite the Darius Leonard, Fred Warners of the world, but about a tier below that. I think he's very good. And then they add Matt Judon as well, who's going to be their rush backer. Look, man, I love Andrew Van Ginkle. Dude's a ton of fun. He's not Matthew Judon. I think that gives the Patriots the edge. I think they have the better pass rusher. I think they have the better stack backers. Now, in the Dolphins' defense, I am historically not a fan of the linebackers that they have in the room. So I do like Jerome Baker.
Not named Zach Thomas.
Yeah, no, right. So I do like Jerome Baker. He's fine for what he is, but he has limitations. And then I don't think Landon Roberts should be playing marketable snaps on an NFL defense personally. But I think the Patriots have the advantage here. I think Hightower is one of the better linebackers and Judon's an incredibly good rush backer. So,
yeah, you know, I kind of forget that Matt Judon's there, but I think at the end of the day, the athleticism of the Dolphins and, you know, those guys aren't spring chickens on the other side. Hightower's in his 30s, Van Noy's in his 30s, Judon's in his 30s. These guys aren't spring chickens anymore, where the Dolphins are much younger. And that, like I said, I think the athleticism, being able to go sideline to sideline with Baker, get after the quarterback, I think they have a little bit of an edge there just because I just like their game. And I like what Brian Flores does with that linebacking unit almost every single week, except when they go against really good tight ends. Defensive back, I don't think we have to spend too much time. Stephon Gilmore is not playing in this game. Patrick Chung is retired. The Dolphins all day. I mean, you got
if Gilmore was playing, it could be a conversation, right? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
But this makes a huge difference knowing that Mac Jones has to go against Xavien Howard and Byron Jones in his first game is going to be a tough task. And those wide receivers are going to have a hard time, you know. And, you know, one thing I love with Xavien Howard, and we've talked about this a lot on the pregame show, we've talked about it a lot on the postgame show with Mike, Xavien Howard is arguably the best guy in the league that can bait a quarterback into a throw he thinks he can make, and Xavien Howard knowing he can get his hand on that football. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. He's going to try to bait Mac Jones into throwing his way. You know, and we saw a lot last year. Quarterbacks stayed away from Byron Jones for the most part with Xavien Howard playing, and they tested Xavien Howard, and he made them pay every time. So this is a plea to Mac Jones. Since you're not going to watch this, but I'm still going to say this, please throw to Xavien Howard just a couple times and see how it goes for you. But definitely an advantage here for the Dolphins. I like that they have McCourty starting. I think they're going to sprinkle a lot of Brandon Jones and Javon Holland into this game. And obviously Eric Rowe, he's got a huge role in this game. He's got to take away one of those tight ends. So, and I like his ability to do that if they're not named Travis Kelce and Darren Waller.
Yeah, I agree. That's the big one for me, right? Like, I'm not particularly concerned with Xavien Howard going up against whoever New England's wide receiver three even is. And then I mean, I'm sure Jacoby Myers will get a couple of plays, right? Like, that's just how football works these days. But I'm not really too concerned about the receivers. It's the tight ends that worry me in this passing attack. Who's going to cover the second one, right? Like, I like Eric Rowe, certainly, right? But they're probably going to run a lot of, you know, multi-tight end sets. Who's going to cover Hunter Henry? I don't know. If it's Jerome Baker, I'm a little bit worried. Not going to lie, but we'll see. I definitely think the Dolphins have the advantage here. It's going to be really interesting to see what their safety rotations look like. How much Brandon Jones do we see? Where do we see him? Same thing goes for Javon Holland and Devin McCourty. I'd be really interested to see where they go with that. But yeah, I think Dolphins definitely take this one.
I'm going to just quickly throw this out there, something maybe to watch for. What about Javon Holland covering one of those tight ends?
I look, I think he's a slot corner. So, you know, sign me up. That's what I think he's good at. So I hope that's what they end up using him for, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Last but not least, it's always our favorite part of who has the advantage. It's the special teams, guys. We got to talk about special teams. And bar none, Miami Dolphins have the best kicker in football per 2020 in the league, and Jason Sanders. I think that in itself is an advantage. But we have Jakeem Grant. He is a very, very good returner. And I think he's going to help the Dolphins get some positions. But punt returner, I think we might see number 17 back there, as much as I don't want to see that. I think we might see Jalen Waddle return a couple punts. What do you think?
Man, I don't want to see Jalen Waddle anywhere near a punt return.
I'm just saying, just be prepared for it. You know what's going to happen.
I am not interested in seeing that at all, man. Throw Hakeem Grant back there. That's the only thing that he is marketably better than everyone else at. So let him do that. Let him do his thing. That's why you kept him on the right. At least that's why I would keep him on the roster. So I think that he gives the Dolphins a little bit of juice there. And then obviously a kicker. I mean, Jason Sanders is, you know, one of the best. We'll see how he does this year, kind of following up his really good performance last year. And we have the new punter, Pardley. Oh my God.
Matthew Pillardy.
I butchered that twice. My Lord. That was brutal. But yeah, we got the new punter. So we'll see how he does.
Just remember last year I couldn't say Clayton Fedulum. So
you got it now though.
I got it now. You take an entire offseason learning to say something, you should be able to get.
Yeah, I'll get the punter by week two. I butchered that to hell, but we'll see how he does. I don't watch punters, so I have absolutely no opinion on that. I'm just sorry. I like good punts. That's cool, but I am not sitting down and watching film on punters. I just refuse to do it. But I think the Dolphins have the advantage here. Grant's like an all-pro kick returner, technically. So
I think my first tweet for the game against Dallas and Tampa Bay was, "What a punt."
That was a great punt. It was a great punt.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Before we get into predictions, we do have to talk about our sponsors. First, we're going to talk about here, BetUS. Use promo code DolphinsTalk to get 125% sign-on bonus when you register. If you'd like to use crypto, you get a 200% sign-on bonus with the promo code DolphinsTalk. And, of course, our friends at Manscaped. Dante, attention all gamblers, all shapes and sizes. Our friends at Manscaped have a can't-miss bet for you today. The leaders in male grooming just launched their fourth-generation performance package. The betting odds are in your favor when you use the Lawnmower 4.0 on your balls. Across the board, this package to get you in the mood for whatever your gambling heart desires. Ready to take the leap into male grooming? Royalty. 2 million men already have. Join Manscaped. Join the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the promo code DolphinsTalk. We are going to prediction time. Dante, who do you have winning this game? And Foxborough.
I got the Dolphins. I'm feeling good about this one. I do think this is going to be a close football game. Like, I think it's going to be a slugfest, the low scoring. I'm going 24-20 Miami. I think that they just outgrind the Patriots. I think Tua shows up late in the game. You know, maybe it's 20-17 halfway through the fourth. He puts us up and the defense seals it. This is going to be a slugfest. This is going to be two teams, you know, trying to set the tone or whatever the hell that means. But it'll be fun. But I do think the Dolphins are the better team and ultimately they win.
I agree with you. I think the Dolphins will end up pulling this game out. Now, we both predicted the Dolphins to win week one in New England last year. That fell flat on our face. But this is a whole different game. This is a pocket passer that they're going against. He's kind of a statue in there. And I believe the Dolphins are going to find a way to rattle his cage enough to get a victory 21-20. And I think I agree with you. I think we're going to get a fourth quarter touchdown drive from Tua to seal the game. A 21-20 win would be tremendous, especially for week one, because we know what's lurking in week two at home, the damn Buffalo Bills. So that will do it for our initial countdown to kickoff. We are going to start getting some questions from fans prior to the show, and we are going to go through those questions at the end of the show once we make our predictions and just do a little couple quick things. But we're running a little bit long here. I know you guys want to get into game mode with the Dolphins kicking off at 4:25 against the New England Patriots. That will do it for countdown to kickoff. I am Tom Ernesty. Again, Dante Colonelli, thank you for joining me. We are
thank
out.
You for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.